Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
This edition of your 1 hour inspirational programming. Yes, we are now 1 hour inspirational programming, and it starts right now, right here, all the way out, just outside of San Diego. We're still here, and we're going to be broadcasting to you, bringing you show live all the way from here. It's a beautiful place out here, very, very nice, and it's been a while since we've been able to get out side of our local confinement to bring the show, but we've got a very good show planned tonight, and it's going to be this is a show that you don't want to miss. If you were going to miss any show, you should have missed last night's show, but tonight is the show that you don't want to miss. Tonight's topic is, can man negotiate with God? Can man negotiate with God? So we're going to first do the business at hand, and that is we're going to invite the presence of the Lord into our program. And Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for everything you do for us now and in the future. And Lord, we just want to invite you into the midst of this programming tonight and ask that you will guide, lead, and direct us into all spirit and in truth. And these and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Let me go ahead. I've got a very special person we're welcoming tonight that we're going to be bringing, that's been away for a while, and he's going to be back. But before I do that, let me go ahead and bring in my illustrious co-host, and that is Lady C, who's going to be joining us. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Are you ready?
Hi, Dr. Walker. Thank you so much. Yes, I am ready.
All right. So Lady C is my co-host for the Friday night programming. And she's been with me now for a few weeks, and she's doing an outstanding job. I'm so glad to have her on the broadcast line with us. Lady C, I want you to join in and welcoming me back. Lady Love, Lady Charity, Lady Love has been gone for a while, and she's back with some powerful scriptures. Lady Love, let's just take this opportunity
Praise
and say
God.
Welcome back.
We missed you a lot.
We certainly have.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be back. I missed you guys so much, Dr. Walker, Lady C. It's been a journey, but God has been good. So I am truly happy to be back. Thank you.
Okay.
Amen.
Great.
All right. Awesome. So tonight we're going to start out, and Lady C, let me just begin with you. I know this is tough, but when we talk about negotiating, you know, it sounds like it's contractual. It sounds like something that's based on a condition. If you paint my house, then I will pay you $25. And then you say, Dr. Walker, you're apparently out of your mind to paint your house for $25. So you say, I tell you what, if we can negotiate this, I will paint your house for $2,500. And then I say, well, okay, I make a counter claim or a counter offer and say to you, well, I tell you what, not $2,500, but how about $1,200? And we go back and forth. Can we do that with God, Lady T? Can we negotiate with God we're talking about the creator here. So help me out with this, would you please?
You know, Dr. Walker, as I listened to you ask me this question, I remember Abraham's negotiation with God just before, in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah, before Lot came out. But it was a negotiation for life, for a good cause, you know. And Abraham wasn't being presumptuous. He was just saying, God, if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom, will you destroy the city? And God said, no, Abraham, I won't if I could find 50 righteous people. And they negotiated until it got down to 5. And God said, I would not. And he meant it. But unfortunately, he only found 4. Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters. And still his wife didn't make it. But Abraham was praying. So, you know, we have to be, and that was a blessing in itself, but we have to be careful of how we negotiate with God. Because, and we do it, a lot of us do it today. We negotiate with God, but not for righteousness sake or for someone's life, but for our desires. And sometimes our desire is not what God desires for us. Sometimes our desire is so out of God's context and out of what God would want for us, but we desire this thing, and we try to negotiate that with God, and a lot of times we think we get the answer, and it's to our own default or destruction. So it's a dangerous thing.
So are you telling me then that Abraham actually negotiated with God, with his nephew Lot, it was presumptive, or did God already know that he wasn't going to find these righteous people? I mean, God is omniscient, we're told. So is it that he was only having a conversation or a communication with Abraham when God, in fact, knew what he was going to find and what he was not going to find? So how is that? God only, in my opinion here, deals with him. God doesn't need an opinion from someone else about what he does. So then the question becomes, can man negotiate with God? Before you respond to that, let me just go to Lady Love here and bring you in. Lady Love, you got any scriptures out there where it seems like there was a contract between God and man? Anything out there?
Okay, so to stay on topic with Lady C, she is correct, and with Sodom and Gomorrah, and God did go back and forth with him, so that was a negotiation. And he said to him, when the man got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram what I am about to do? Abram will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right, and just so that the Lord will bring about for Abram and he has promised him. So saying that, God made a commitment, a covenant with Abraham, with Abram, letting him know that I made a promise to you. If you can find someone that is just as good as you or dedicated, I will go back and forth with you, because that's what he did. They went back and forth, like Lady C said. He said, if you can find 50, then I won't destroy them. But there weren't 50. So, yes, God will negotiate with you back and forth, because at the end, Abram lost his wife and so many others, but Abram was still survived. He still survived this whole traumatic disaster because he was faithful. Mm-hmm. He didn't kill Abram as well. So yes, Lady C was correct. God does negotiate.
You meant Lot, right, Lady Lot?
Yes, Lot. I apologize. Yeah. Thank you.
That's
Lot, right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what she was reading was reading actually from Genesis 18, 16 through 33. So you can go in, and I believe strongly in studying to show thyself approved. That's what the Bible tells us to do. So her reading came from Genesis 18, 16 through 33. And I'm still kind of like, really? You can actually negotiate from God. It's like, well, God, you know what? I don't want this husband. So I tell you what, I will do X, Y, and Z if you make this husband die so that I can be free to marry again. Or if I don't like this wife, you know, just kind of encourage her, lead her into temptation so that she can become adulterous so that I can be free to marry. Come on, lady love. Come on. Mm-hmm. Going back and forth with God, the Creator. Before you respond to that, we're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to the phone lines here, and let's see if we can bring in. If you want to be able to communicate with us tonight, press 1. Let's go to 240-216. 240-216. Tonight we're talking about, can man negotiate with God? Who do we have with us, and welcome? 240-216. All right, perhaps they'll want to think about who they are on the line tonight. They pressed 1. Lady C, let's bring you back
I'm
here.
I'm sorry.
All right, we'll come back to you in a moment. But Lady C, let me bring you in here and ask this question. We're still looking, and it's saying, God being omniscient, that is all knowing. Was it maybe the communication that he had when he said you can find 50 in Sodom? What a communication. He says, I mean, Abraham is trying to negotiate with him. And God says, okay, all right, I'll tell you what. Okay, Abraham, you know, it's just like a parent says to their child. Mother, the boy keeps going after the mother to get him a bicycle. And she says, okay, the boy has been making D's in physical education. Huh, who makes a D in physical education? All right, he's got bad attitude. He's not dressing out, which is requirement. And that's likely to get you a D. However, a D is a passing grade in some communities, right? So he says, well, Mom, if I make a B on my report card, will you buy me that bicycle? The mom knows he's not going to make a B. This boy's been getting D's and PE every week. So she goes ahead and she says, okay, go ahead. You make a B, and I'll get you that bicycle. Lady, see, come on. She knew he wasn't going to do it. So God knew Abraham, but he's trying to have communication saying, Abraham, go ahead. Do your thing. All right? Because I already know I'm God. I'm omniscient. I am all-knowing. So who can stand and challenge me and negotiate with me? Come on, Lady C.
You know, Dr. Walker, I mean, I just can't help but laugh, okay?
Why?
The truth is, when God look at each of us, he is like he's only that one person in the world. God values us so much. Each of us
he
are
does.
So special to God. And that's why he could allow us to negotiate with him, right? I mean, think about Adam.
Okay.
Did God not know where Adam was? Did God not know that Adam had believe, okay, but because he loves us and he values us so much and he's a communicative God and he created us intelligent being to communicate with him, he just wants to hear anyway. He wants to hear our hearts. He wants it to come out of our mouth, even though if he knows what we're thinking, he wants it to come out of our mouth. You know, I was reading Matthew this week, and when Jesus knew what the disciples were thinking, he just came out and said, why are you thinking that? And they responded, expressing everything that they were thinking. Or he would say certain things to them that brought the rest of it out. So that's just how God works. He's a communicative God, and he wants to hear from us. And Abraham was not the only one who negotiated with God. Moses negotiated with God. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai talking with God, and God was creating the commandment, and they were thinking in their head, where is Moses after so long, blah, blah, blah. This doesn't seem like the God that we're supposed to be worshiping. Then they talk Aaron into making this calf. When Aaron made this calf, then God saw what they were doing. And then God said, Moses, go down and deal with that. And at that time, God was thinking to destroy these wretched people. Moses said, no, God, please. Please save them. You know, save them from themselves. You know, I'm paraphrasing on my own words. Basically, that's what the Bible said. So God allowed, and he did save them at that point. But there were other times that Moses could not save them. God was just like, your time is up. You're too wretched. You're too barefaced. You're too presumptuous. You're a presumptuous sinner. And with us in our time, sometimes we get grace from God in that sense when we're presumptuous. And there are other times when we just don't get that grace. We just have to suffer for our desires and our sinful ways, you know. But yes, the omnipotent God do allow us to negotiate with him sometimes.
So then how can God be all-knowing? Lady Love, I got to bring you in here. How can God be all-knowing and then be subject to allowing something that he created, allow something he created to negotiate with him? I don't get
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to bring us back to
because negotiation our has
skills.
To do with being – negotiation has to do with being aimed at reaching an agreement. An agreement. Okay, God. I mean, here's the deal, God. Here's the deal, okay? Who can tell God what the deal is? Go ahead, Lady Love. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to figure this out.
You're fine. No, like I was getting ready to say, God is our parent. When you were saying the young man getting a B, he said he would get a B. God is our father. And as a parent, we already know what our children are capable of doing and what they're not capable of doing because they're our children. We brought them in this world. We watch every single thing that they do. And that parent knew what her child had inside of them. Like God knows what
right.
we have inside
exactly.
of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he knew she knew his heart. So he tried. The valuable thing about this was he gave his best. His heart was true. He tried his best. But because he gave his best, his whole heart, he was deserving. So it wasn't really the grade. The grade was what she used, what the parent used. And the same thing with God. It's what he uses us to go forth and give our best. And when we do that, he's proud because he knows we gave our heart. And that's what he's after, is our heart.
Okay, but
so
at the same time, that parent knows, she knows her child. And she says, this boy here, he said, I didn't even make it where it was an A. Okay, I'd like him to make an A. But, you know, he figures he can get to a B. And I agree with him. Okay, I negotiated. Go ahead, get the beat. But she knows that she knows his DNA. God knows our DNA, and that parent's just basically having a communication. Now, we as humans, we might give in that parent, that soft mother, and says, you know what, the boy made another D, but he tried one or two times. Let me buy him this bicycle. Lady Love, is that the way you do it? Do you just give in and give him the bicycle? He didn't make the grade?
But she didn't give in because he did his best. She didn't give it, and she was proud that he negotiated, that he had enough confidence. Come to God boldly with confidence. And he did. He was confident that he was going to make this grade. Now, his smarts is a totally different avenue, but he came boldly. He went back and forth with her. He proved to her he was willing to give it all. And sometimes your best is all you have.
So
and he gave it. He deserved the bike.
Remember
yes.
now, he tried two times. And he's like, I'm not doing this here. I'm not dressing out. I don't care about the bicycle anymore. Does the mother soften up and just give in and buy the bicycle because she feels sorry for her soft son? Because she feels he tried his best. That is not his best.
No, and God doesn't give us what we ask for when we don't give him our best as well. So, no, he didn't deserve the bike when he did not give his best. But, again, his negotiation skills were good.
I agree, because he negotiated for a B. So if he made that B, then he deserved the bike. Because he
yes,
worked
he made
hard
the
for
beat, but
beat.
He didn't make the beat.
He could have made it.
He didn't make the beat.
He didn't make the beat.
He stayed. He okay. continued on that pattern, that DNA of the D. D is in
David.
Well,
he doesn't deserve the bike. God sometimes treats us like that, depending on the situation, because he's God.
Right.
And
so how was that? So the mother did have a communication with the son. Hold the line. We're going to go to 240-216. Are you there? Is the caller there? All right,
yes.
240-216. Are you there?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Who do we have on the line with us?
We have Eunice Cologne and Antoinette Fletcher.
All right, Eunice and Antoinette. Thank you all for joining us. Let's start with Eunice. Eunice, in your opinion, can man actually negotiate with someone who created him to say, "Well, God, you didn't make me right." Okay, take for example. Here we go now. And ladies, I don't mean any disrespect to all of you all out there, but in the man's world, when I say world, I don't mean he runs everything. Even though sometimes we want to think we do, but we don't. In the man's mind, maybe I should put it this way. We feel like when we get a woman, when we're dating her, she's a little different. Then when you marry her, she wants to recreate you because she, in her, somewhere along the way, she feels, well, God didn't get it right. Now let me perfect you. So, and ladies, I don't mean any disrespect when I say that. So, Eunice, we bring you in here. So can someone perfect what God has already created? In terms of negotiation, God, please help this man to stop being so stupid and help him to act like he got some common sense.
Oh, my God.
Don't hurt us too bad in your comments because we got men listening.
Okay. All right. Man cannot negotiate with God. Man cannot negotiate with God. I don't think there's any negotiating power there.
Okay.
But as far as, I do agree that women get a man and then, or vice versa, a man can get a woman and they want to recreate them, rebrand them, whatever, make them who they want them to be. Now, my philosophy on that is, when you're looking for someone, you should be looking for someone that's already, they already come built in the fashion that you want it, right? So I'm not looking for Bob the Builder.
Right.
I want someone that, they already put together you do a little tweaks here and there because relationships are based on.
There it is. See?
Yeah.
Right there, what you just said. You do a little.
No, but wait a minute. But the tweaks are, when I talk about tweaks, I'm talking about both people compromising to make the relationship work. Not one person saying, hey, you need to change your ways in order for this, to work, right? You shouldn't want to change someone. When you are with someone, you should, if you want to be with them, then you take them as they are. And
Come on, Eunice. Who takes somebody as they are? Who on this
planet
takes someone as they are?
No. Okay.
I mean, seriously.
You take someone. When you meet someone, you take them form they are. You are not trying to change them because you either were attracted to them based on your initial assessment of that person. Now, as as time goes on, you develop and learn different things about a person. That at that point is when you can decide, hey, is this something I want to hang
recreate,
is it a deal breaker? Is it a deal breaker,
okay.
Or is it something that I can deal with? Yeah, and then that's when the negotiator comes in.
Okay, all right, we're gonna ask you to stand by, Eunice.
Antoinette, let's bring you in here. Come on. I mean, ladies, I'm going to ask, with all the respect, that you all just come on. Antoinette, have you ever had that situation where, you know, I've heard women say, well, when God made Adam, things were the way they were, but when Eve came along, then it was perfect. Come on now. So, Antoinette, was there?
Yes.
Have you ever said in your mind, this man I need to fix this man. I need to get him right. I need to train him. Have you ever said those words, Antoinette?
No. I'm
you never have. Have you ever heard a woman say that?
Yes, I've heard a friend say it, but I'm not. I am not one to think I have to teach you.
Okay.
I think you should have been taught, whether it's from your mother, your grandmother. You've been taught something growing up. You should have been already taught as a grown
woman,
man.
Taught from a woman. I hear what you're saying. So you heard what you said? You didn't even say from the male species. You say taught from your mother or your grandmother. Okay, go ahead and fix it now.
All men, and the kids, you know, they make reference to women, but you were taught by a woman. Pretty much a lot of what you have done or do in life, you have to say, why do you think most people say, let me thank my mother? You don't really hear too many people out here saying, let me thank my father. Let me thank my mother for what she is doing. You know?
All right.
So, no, I'm not looking for to build a man, no. Because if it's something that's already there that I know I can't live with, I know I can't, so this won't go nowhere.
But aren't they thanking their mom for giving birth? I mean, couldn't it be that?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, but it could be. It's just a giving birth. It's giving them the opportunity in life to grow, to deal with. What is that? To deal with. How do you take this off? Okay, you still here?
To deal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just in life and how to deal with the women.
Okay.
Emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. A lot of that comes from a woman raising a young man. I'm not saying fathers are not important. I believe that they are important. You know.
But it's
in a different form, in a different way of teaching them how to be a man.
I think
it's different.
So, all right, we're gonna ask you all to stand by. Lady C, I got to bring you back in here now. I'm hearing stuff, and I'm just, like, shaking my head over here on Facebook Live.
Well,
you all, I know you're on Facebook Live. You all are seeing me over here shaking my head. And it's like, what is going on? Tonight, if you're just joining us, we're talking about can man negotiate with God. Lady C, I've got one here for you. And I'm thinking the negotiations that perhaps we're thinking that God is negotiating is really a conversation because God already knows where it's going to go. Case in point. When God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, God had already hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, what was the purpose for Moses going there? What was that all about? When it got to the point where God just hardened Pharaoh's heart. Lady C, come on. And then it's going to be the same thing with you, Lady Love. I want you all to answer that. Go ahead, Lady C, first.
Dr. Walker.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes... this topic really is quite interesting tonight. When it comes to a woman remaking a man, I mean, we all do it. Not we all, but a lot of people do it. People with insecurities try to remake their spouses, whether from a male or a female perspective. Women do it to men, men do it to women. But let us talk about how sometimes we negotiate with God, right?
Okay.
All right. I want a man. I see a man that I want. And I think that, for whatever reason, whatever my motives are, I want this man in my life. I want this man. And this man has put an interest in me too. So I go into this relationship, get married to this man, and ask God to make the man what I want him to be. And ask God to help me to be the wife to this man, seeing already that this is going to be a disastrous marriage.
Okay.
You know, and we are negotiating this contract with God. God, please make him into the man that I want him to be. God, please fix him this way and fix him that way. God, please fix me this way so I could be what it is. And it's a disaster.
Right. So why didn't God negotiate with you? Why didn't he set a covenant with you for that man? Why?
Because that's not the man God has for me, and that's not the woman he has for you. So sometimes we try to go before God and then try to negotiate. So things like that, God is not going to negotiate with us. God does negotiate with us. He does.
He does.
Because when Moses said to him, remember Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham, please, Lord, he said, okay. He was touched by Moses. You think he didn't remember about Isaac, Abraham, and whoever? He did.
Yeah.
But just Moses saying it to him touched God's heart, and he decided not to destroy those wicked Israelites, right? So I'm just saying that to say, because God loves us so much, he does negotiate with us. But when it comes to our presumptuousness, he's not going to negotiate with us in regards to that. Because God says,
all right,
put me first. So ask me for your husband, because I know the best man for you. But you're going to go ahead.
Okay.
You know this man is wrong for you. You're going to choose this man or choose this woman, and then ask God to make it right. Make it work, God.
Okay. So if, for example, now, come on, watch this now. Watch this, since you brought this up, and you didn't answer the question about God hardening Moses' heart, I mean Pharaoh's heart, when Moses went to him when God had had enough. But so now you're talking about wanting the man of your desire or your dream, okay, is what you wanted, not what God wanted best for you. So if God sends you, if you're 5 feet 8 inches, and God sends you a man that's 5'2", and you know, now all of a sudden now, is that good enough for you? Come on, Lady C, is that good enough for you?
It's only good enough if I know that God sent him. He can know when it's God.
Are you
going to
want him to wear heels?
You mean if the man is going to want me to wear heels? Or if I'm
going to
want him to
wear
heels?
No, if you're going to want him to wear heels, because he's 5'2".
No. I've seen a lot of that couple. It wouldn't be me, but I've seen a lot of those couples. It's whatever worked for you. And that's why love is not based on condition. Love is based on principle, you know?
All right.
I love this man, even though he's so short, because he has the qualities I'm looking for in a man. It's not based on condition, but principle. So if God says, this is the man I'm sending your way, yes, he's short, but he has all the qualities in a man that will work for your personality and your character. This is
all
the
right
type of man you need because of who you are, you know, then
right,
you're going to have to work with that.
Lady C, and be honest with me if you would, please. I'm just asking, and we're talking about negotiating with God. Lady C, if you're working with a man, you know that you like men over 6 feet, for example, and you work with this guy, and he's 5'2", is a real gentleman and everything. Lady C, are you going to really, be honest with me, are you going to really give that man the time of the day, really?
Dr. Walker, can I be really honest with you? Like, honestly, don't
That's
you?
What I want is real
yeah,
honesty.
I like
yeah.
That. And I like to when you know that, right? I'm telling you the truth. I don't know if my husband, 5'2", has come my way and I overlooked him, because I'm 6 foot and I'm not going down there. I'm sorry. I need a six footer.
Okay, so that's honesty.
So I would definitely have to know that God would have to show it to me on a platter and say, this is the man I say to you. Because I'm showing, I'm telling, this is now God negotiating between me, not me trying to negotiate with God. Because I would not negotiate with God and say, God sent me a man 5'2". I would send him, God sent me a man 6 foot, at least 5'11". But not five.
That's the point I'm making. Now we want to tell God what to do. Hold on 1 second. Lady C, we're going to ask you to stand by. I want to get back to Eunice and Antoinette. If you want to speak to this issue, right, please press 1. It's not an attack, but I just want us to think. Can man actually negotiate with God? Lady C still didn't answer the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And let me bring in Lady Love. Lady Love, and then we're going to go to Eunice and Antoinette. Lady Love, let me ask this question here. God sends you this man that's 5'2". Come on now, Lady Love. Be honest with me. and you're 5'4". Lady Love, and you love to wear heels, and you negotiated, God, please. When God, you know, it's like God knows what's best for all of us. Lady Love, will you give that man 5'2", the time of day?
No.
Be honest. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, because I'm asking God for someone who's taller than I am, and he brings me this guy that is 5'2", and that's not what I asked for. And because I am of flesh, we have to remember we're all of flesh. So we're going to do what we want to do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know that's what we do. We're negotiating. We justify why we want what we want. And God, he looks at us and laughs, and he says, you know, this is what I'm giving you. But then the negotiation part of it is that, okay, I don't want him because he's too short. He's 5'2". But he's going to make all of his other aspects and traits to be so wonderful that I'm going to overlook this 5'2". So God has a way of going around it. But yes, I'm going to negotiate. Why'd you send me someone 5'2" when that's not what I asked for? With the tall guy. And God's going to say, well, he's not 6 feet, but he has money, he has a house, he has a car, he has all these other things that you need. Do you want to give up these other things in order for him to be taller, who's going to be a bum, not work, don't provide anything? Your choice.
Right.
So there's the negotiation. You want the 5'2" who has it all, or you want the 6 foot who has nothing?
Okay.
That's my
honest
opinion.
All right, before we move on to Antoinette and Eunice, I got to ask this question. Then talk about negotiating with God. Why? What was the point of going to Moses when God, going to Pharaoh, Moses going to Pharaoh, when God had already hardened Pharaoh's heart? Because he knew he wasn't going to, you know, he knew what Pharaoh was going to say and do. So what was the point? Lady Love.
Pharaoh.
Well,
Pharaoh wasn't the only one in the picture. God had a lot of things to prove to the entire nation, Israelite, Egyptians, you name it. God had a thing to prove. It wasn't just about Pharaoh. So he had to harden Pharaoh's heart to prove that he is God, and he specializes in delivering his people.
So if he hardened Pharaoh's heart, then there was nothing Moses could have done, and I'm asking you all the points of sending Moses. There was nothing Moses could have done because God had already hardened his heart. So what was the point? Come on, Lady C, and then we're going to bring in Lady Love. We're going to go to some other folks in a moment. But come on, Lady C, answer that.
You think back on the story, right? Moses did a lot. With that rod, Moses did a lot, and God sent a whole lot of
things. We're not talking about the rod right now. We're talking about when Pharaoh's hardening, God hardening Pharaoh's heart. We're talking about negotiation. Can man negotiate with God? We're going to ask you all to stand by. Let's go to, shortly we're going to go to an Orlando call, 407-579. But wait, let's go back to Eunice. Let's bring you in here. What are you thinking right now, Eunice? I heard what you said earlier. Do you believe that man can actually negotiate with someone who created him? And earlier you said, are you there, Eunice?
Yes.
Okay, Eunice, what are you thinking now? What are you thinking?
I'm sorry, I was...
All right, Antoinette, are you there? Did you hear the question?
Yes.
Okay, Antoinette, what are your thoughts?
After his heart was hardened?
Yes. Pharaoh's heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yes. I don't think it was much he can do after that. I mean,
so what was the point of Moses going there?
I don't know what the point would have been. Not unless, what kind of way could he change him after God has hardened his heart? So I don't know what is it he was going to try to do, and how could he change anything?
Right. I think that after a while, when God sees the heart, remember, he looks at the heart. And after mm-hmm. a while, when man's heart becomes so deceitful, and it is almost like yeah. he's locked in or fixated on being that particular way. And that's why even with mm-hmm. some marriages and some relationships, they don't work out right. because there's no compromise. There's no negotiation in there. And that person's going to be that way no matter what. If you get an abusive man, whether he's mentally yeah. or physically abusive, he can threaten to change. But when you see that certain reactions trigger his behavior, he's going to be yeah. that way. And you might stay in that relationship 5 and 10 years praying to the God, trying to negotiate, when God actually gave you an outlet long time ago, even the red flags before you got in there. But we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Orlando. Let's go to Orlando, 407-579.
How are you doing,
hello,
sir?
Welcome. Eunice, we're going to come back to you in a minute, Eunice and Antoinette. Doing well. Okay. How are you, sir? Who do we have with us?
Pretty good. My name is Nathan in Orlando. I'm enjoying your conversation. Here's what I'm going to say. If you remember back to the beginning when Moses was going to go to him, God told him he is going to harden his heart. And there was a process, but he said that I will harden his heart, and that will be what causes him to let go. And so this is what I've seen in human nature. You know, I make the choice. I'm the one that makes the choice. And can God negotiate? Can we negotiate with God? I don't think really no. We might in our immaturity, we might in getting desperate and want to make a deal, and we'll, you know. But here's what I've seen happen in Pharaoh's heart. He hardened his heart, and he continued to harden his heart. And at some point, God locked him into that and hardened his heart. And even though he continued to change his mind and go back on what he said, he was locked in. Eventually, God's going to get him tired, and he's going to let Moses and the Israelites leave. Now, on what you the game you were playing with your the little example you were playing with your two hosts there, I was in the military with a guy many years ago, and he told me he was always dated blondes. He said he could see himself with nothing but blondes, and never dated anything other than blondes. But when he met his wife, she was a redhead, and he said that he was not attracted to her. But in time, just as friends, he fell in love with her, and he says blonde does not mean anything to him anymore. So that thing of delight yourself in the Lord, and God will change your heart. And the reason I'm interested in this subject is when I got saved back in 1980, almost 20 years old, a couple months before my 20th birthday, I went through some struggles, and I would make deals with God and never could keep them. And then I look back over my life and the things that God did in my life, it was by his grace, and I remember, I gave you a good example. I had a hard time with cussing, and a friend of mine, a pastor friend, said, "Listen, don't quit cussing because the Christians don't, or the pastor don't cuss. He just asked God to take it out of your heart." And so I asked uh-huh. God to take it out of my heart, and I still had a problem with it. I was tempted to tell a dirty joke when I heard stuff, and then one day I was riding down the road, and this was in February of 1982, a pickup truck shot across the highway and hit me on my motorcycle. And as soon as I hit the ground, I didn't yell, "Oh, beep." I just thank God I was still alive. I didn't know what was wrong, and I was just asking God, if it's possible, please don't let me be permanently disabled or anything like that. But I noticed right. that day, nothing came out of my mouth that would have naturally come out, and I've never had a problem with cussing. So whenever I get really, really mad, I always say, you know, I don't have any cuss words in my heart, so I'm speechless. So, wow. But I've seen how God works in our heart. God works in our heart by grace. And when we make deals with God, and I think it goes back to the works versus grace. You know, uh-huh. we fall into a religion of works, and they say, well, you know, a Christian does this, this, and this. The only thing we can do is present ourselves to God and let him do it.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Thing that you're asking, can we negotiate with God? I would say yes, we do, in our immaturity and not understanding that it's all about us depending on God and the choices we make. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand the predestination, the foreknowledge and all that, but I see that in a practical sense. That, you know, God gives me a free will. And
Mason,
even if my will is wrong.
Mason from Orlando, I think that that's a very good point that you brought out in terms of, and you mentioned in our immature ways in relation with God. If a community, in my opinion, I'm not saying that I'm right, of course you are, but I'm saying in my opinion, God being omniscient, he already knows. And in that, and as such, it's a matter of our communications. It's about a relationship with God. That's what it is about. It was about Moses' relationship with God. That's what all of this comes down to. And if we want to feel that we're negotiating with God, we're having that communication, God knows it all. God's word cannot be sent out or returned unto him void. So his love for
us, you know that,
may have us thinking that he's negotiating with us. But God already knows, and he welcomes the communication. Mason from Orlando, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let's go to this other caller, 856. We're going to go to 856-316. We're about 14 minutes before we bring the show to a close.
Okay, doctor, this is Deborah. Okay, so I think God said in Isaiah 1:18, he says, come and let us reason together. He didn't say that. He said that because we can reason with him. That we can negotiate with him, but it's not to argue with God or defend ourselves against a behavior that we know that is not right or righteous. It's not about, you know, it's not about us trying to proclaim our innocence with him when he says, come, let us reason with him. But it is to admit that, you know, he's perfect and he's righteous. So when he say, come and let us reason together, it is so that we can admit our ways. It's just not like his ways. He also said, and it's because he loves us so that we can come and reason with him. And he can, and he is just to forgive. He's just to forgive. And even the angels could not understand that, because in Psalms 8, they said, you know, what it is about this man that you're so mindful of? What is it about him? And I think it's about us because he loves us so, and that, you know, we can come to him with our faults and he can forgive. And so that's when we are reasoning with him, we are actually reasoning with him or admitting our faults to him so that he can forgive us, because he's just to do that.
Okay, so Deborah, we appreciate that comment. So in this case, wouldn't reason be looked at or defined sort of that? When we're talking about reason, God says, let us come and reason together. Could it be that God is saying, okay, come on and talk to me. Explain to me what it is on your mind. What's on your heart? Why are you acting this way? You know, take, for example, that parent again. The boy is making that D, physical education, the easiest subject out there because he doesn't want to dress out. He's got a rebellious behavior, and the coaches are not allowing that. And so the mother says, okay, come on, let us sit down. You know, let's see how we can reason together. Let's see how we can make this thing work for you. You know, is that a negotiation? Or is it, remember now, there's free choice in this and there's free will. We call it free will, but the Bible doesn't talk about man having free will. Man has free choice. We have defined it or turned it around to make the connotation that free choice is free will. And, you know, maybe we use it interchangeably. But what you're actually doing is you're sitting down and having a discussion, an explanation with God or that parent, in this case with the bicycle, and the parent is saying, okay, come on, let us reason. Come on, let us reason together. Let me hear your logic. Let me hear your justification for your action or your event. Let me hear what you've got to say. Now, Deborah, talk to me.
Well, reasoning with God, when he say, come, let us reason together, is not the same as your child sitting down and negotiating with you. I don't think that's the same thing. I think that, like I say, when we reason with God, we're not going to argue about, when that child is negotiating, he's trying to argue with us about, you know, that he's right. With reasoning with God, it's not negotiating that we're right. It's admitting that we are not right. It's admitting that we are at fault and wanting his forgiveness. I think that's a whole different, that is not the same.
Right. Okay. And that's why I was asking, when you're coming before God, when it says, come, let us reason together, God is saying, come and let us explain. Let you explain, you know, your justification of your actions and so forth and so on. So this is very interesting. Let me bring Lady C in again, then we're going to go back. Lady C, any different thoughts? Can't you still say that man can negotiate? Let me give you another one, since you didn't address the one on Moses going after the point of Moses going after Pharaoh when God had already hardened his heart. How about the individual? I can't remember who it was. I want to say Elijah, that wrestled with God, but it was actually the angel he wrestled with, and said, "I'm because he wanted to have his life extended." And the angel, through, I guess, God gave him permission, and he extended his life for another 15 years, and those turned out to be the worst 15 years of his life. Was that a negotiation? Talk to me, Lady C.
You're not talking about Jacob, are you?
I can't remember who it was, and I'm sorry. I apologize, you all, but it's in there.
Hezekiah.
Maybe Lady Love can do research for us. She's our scripture reader.
It was Hezekiah, Dr. Walker.
It was Hezekiah. It sure was. There it is. It was Hezekiah. 15 more years, and God, that was the worst 15 years of his life. Lady Love, you want to speak to that?
You know, Hezekiah, please.
Lady Love wants to speak to that.
Hezekiah pleaded with God to add years to his life. This was 2 Kings 20:1-11. And in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord said. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, said. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David."
Okay. All right, you heard what you said there. You heard what your conclusion was. "For my sake and for the sake of my servant David." So break this down for us. Break this down for us. Did God do it for him, or God already knew what he was going to do it for himself and for his servant David? Go ahead, Lady Love.
He did it for David because he had an agreement with David, a covenant with David, when David was in reign. But because he is an ascendant from David, he promised David that he would go ahead and take care of his children. So when Hezekiah, he proved to God, "I did what you asked. I did everything you said." And God said, "Okay." But it was still for God's sake. Everything he does it for his sake. So if you come after God with a good heart, that's still for God's sake. So whatever negotiations that you're going for, it's for God.
That's the point. That's the whole point I was trying. Oh, we have about 4 minutes before we end. That's the entire point I wanted to bring out tonight. God is doing it for himself. It's about, everything is about God. We have the free choice. We have the free will, if you want to use it interchangeably. But it's about what God has put forth out here. Let me go to the phone lines. We are almost running out of time, and I know I got quite a few people that want to get in. Let's go to four. Okay, hang on, just before we go to the phone lines again, I got to ask this question here. The Lady C, let me stay with you just for a second. Lady Love, that is. Lady Love, why were those the worst 15 years of Hezekiah's life? Why? Why?
I think you might want to ask Lady C. I'm sorry, because...
Okay. All right. All right, Lady C, do you know why were those the worst 15 years of Hezekiah's life?
I think he might. It might be on the point of him compromising. It's like he was either blind to his advisors, because it's not like he directly had done the wrong, because he was a better king, the Bible says, compared to Ahaz's dad. But he was taking advice from his advisors that was so wrong. You know, it's like the president taking bad advice from his advisors and implementing them at the hurt of the nation. And when Hezekiah was told, when God sent, who did he send, to tell him that he was going to die, he prayed, right?
Uh-huh.
And asked God to spare his life,
right.
Obviously to correct the problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And God, of course, gave him that time. The prophet Isaiah visited him and told him, and he fell on his face and he begged God to not let him die, but let him live. And I think it was in order to correct his wrongs, you know. And as it is said, the consequences is already there. So once we take on the sin, we also take on the consequences. So even after we repent and ask God to forgive us, the fact that we already took on the sin, we have to go through that phase of the consequences.
Okay.
Maybe that's why 15 years was such a pain, you know.
Okay, all right. We're gonna hold it there. Let me bring in Eunice. Let me bring you back in. We're going to go to Eunice, Antoinette, Mason in Orlando, and then back to Deborah. And then we're going to be able to, we got to close it out. But just briefly, you all, if we get enough time, we got 3 minutes. Eunice, could you find yourself trying to negotiate with God? If so, how would you do it?
I think I would do it with prayers. That's the only way I can negotiate with God. But personally, I don't. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Antoinette, same question. If you find yourself, is there a different methodology for you other than your prayers? And then what happens if your prayers are not answered in the time frame that you want them to be answered? Did God fail you?
No, I don't believe that God, because first, I don't believe that you can negotiate with him. Two, I think that you're either praying for something or wishing for something to happen for yourself.
Right.
And I don't think that everything that comes your way, because most people say, oh, you know, this is what God did. No, sometimes it's just what you have done, be it bad, good, or whatever. I think that people put it on God based on what a delivery is.
Okay.
And they
say,
"Oh, this was sent from God." But for me, I think I would pray for what I want in hopes that He hears me and I receive it. But it does not mean that all things that I do are coming from Him. Sometimes it's just because if you're going to pray for it, you'll just pray and let it go. But when you put yourself into it, I think it changes that.
Right. We're down to 60 seconds. Let me go to Mason Orlando. 20 seconds or less. Does God fail us if our prayers, do we want that covenant that Abraham had with God? Just quickly, though, Mason.
I would have to say, God, whatever you're going to do in my life, the biggest thing I'm going to need is dependence on you, because I know I want to make deals and I want to see it happen in the way that my mind sees it. So I'm going to need something I don't have naturally, and that's to depend on your wisdom and to know the right things to do.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Absolutely.
Because I would mess it up.
Right. Deborah, let's bring you in here. Give us your thoughts, Deborah. And then, Lady C, we're going to have you close us out tonight with negotiating with God.
I've tried to negotiate with God since I was a kid. When I was in trouble with my mom, it's, Lord, if you get me out of this time, I won't do it again. When I got grown, I do the same thing. Lord, I'm in this mess. Got into this mess my own self, but if you just get me out of it, I promise I won't do it again. So I've been doing that all my life. I think I'll do that until the day I die. But I thank God because He rises and He's just to forgive me every time. And I know I keep Him laughing, y'all.
Wow. You know what? Miss Deborah, you're a woman after my own heart as a man, because I've been trying to do the same thing with God. It's like, God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, because I know I don't get it right, God. I mean, they wanted me to, my mother prophesied for me to be a preacher. From when I was 5 years old, I'm like, Mom, I was so bad. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to be a preacher. And it wasn't until she died that I became a preacher. Isn't that something? Lady C, so we thank you,
Amen.
Because God, it's a good thing he doesn't give up on us. And he doesn't see us how we are, but as how we could be, according to our free choice. Lady C, close us out tonight. Close us out. We've got to go.
You know, I just love what Deborah said, because as I said earlier, most of us do it. We negotiate with God, and she touched on the part, on that subject, and that's what I was going to say to close out. But at the end of the day, let us all remember that God is in charge, and we do negotiate with him through prayer, and sometimes
right.
he does give us what we want. Like, say, for instance, Lord, I need this job, and if you just give me this job, I promise that I will support this ministry. And sometimes God, because he searches the reins of the heart and he knows what you're going to do, if he knows you're true to ministry, he will give you the job and you will support
mm-hmm.
the ministry, because he's omnipotent, hey. God. He knows all things. So just remember that it is okay to negotiate with God, but we have to be honest with ourselves first and honest
Amen.
With God, because God knows our hearts. So if we think we can fool God, we're mistaken, because we're only fooling ourselves. So it all boils back to honesty. A lot of the people in the Old and New Testament have negotiated with God. We have negotiated with God and got away with a lot of things. But let us be honest and sincere, knowing that God is still in charge. But faith all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if we continue to go to God in faith and in truth and honesty, God will give us the desires of our heart. That is in his will. Not out of his will, but in his will.
Amen. Amen. We thank you for that. And I'm going to share something with you all. God actually, while we've been on this air, God stopped the time between 8 o'clock and 8:01, because we didn't shut down. And now it's 8:02, and we didn't shut down. God stopped the time, because that was the longest 60 seconds that went by. So this was meant to be. Listen, we're out of time. Join us back here live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show next Thursday night. Well, we've got a topic that you will, oh, my goodness, we're going to be talking about a journey to one. You don't want to miss next Thursday's show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here next Friday night for your one-hour inspirational program. Until next Thursday or until next Friday night, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank all of you all for joining us this evening. Good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.